Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Ayin Zayin. We are holding on Daf Ayin Vav and Beis. We are at the beginning of the eighth parak of Mesachos Menachos. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and leading this from his mother, Golda Vasimcha LaShalom, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. So this parak is going to be all about the Lach Metoda, how they would make the Lach Metoda, how many Lach Metoda there are, how large the Lach Metoda were, how much of a truma you give to the Kohen from the Lach Metoda, how is the how did the Lach Metoda become Kadosh? What do you do with the Lach Metoda when there's a Vlad Toda, when there's a Tmura of a Toda? Do the Lach Metoda have to be brought Dafka Min Achulin, or could they be brought from Maaser Sheni? So all of that gets discussed in this parak. In today's daf in particular, we're going to talk about how much flour goes into the Lach Metoda, and the Gemara is then going to discuss, since we're going to talk about Shir Midbar and Shir Yerushalmis, and there's a difference of 1/6 between the different sizes. So we're going to talk about other halachos that relate to 1/6, that when you change currency, it shouldn't be more than 1/6 of a change. When a person prices things, he shouldn't mark things up by more than 1/6. The dinim of Ona'a. And then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about the truma that you give from the Lach Metoda, what it looks like, how much it is, who is the Kohen that is entitled to it. And the Gemara brings a brisa that darshans the pasuk that's quoted in the Mishnah, which discusses the shear of the truma of the Lach Metoda and the shear of the Lach Metoda themselves. And that's pretty much the conversation on Amud Beis about the truma of the Lach Metoda. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Ayin Vav Amud Beis at the bottom of the page. Hatoda, the Lach Metoda, when we say Hatoda over here, means the breads that are brought together with the Korban Toda. The amount of flour that they would use to bake the 40 loaves of bread for the Korban Toda was 5 se'in Yerushalmios, shein sheish midbarios, which tracks to 6 se'in midbarios, meaning what they would call a sa'ah changed. When you were in the midbar, if you would say, I would like a sa'ah of something, you'd see a kli of a certain size. And when in Eretz Yisrael, if you'd say, I'd like a sa'ah of something, you would see a kli of a different size, of a larger size, 1.2 of midbarios in would fit into one sa'ah of a Yerushalmis sin. So 6 sin midbarios would be used to bake the Lach Metoda. Shtei efos ha efa shlosh sin, and since each efa is 3 sin, so if you're going to have 6 sin, it means that you have shtei efos. That's how much flour you would have, depending on whether you're talking in se'in or you're talking in ephos. So it's either shtei ephos or sheish se'in, or 6 se'in. And those shtei ephos are esrim isaron, that each epha is 10 isarons. So if you have 2 ephos, it's 20 isarons. This is just getting us acclimated to the measuring utensils that they had. So instead of whatever it was, a gallon and a half, a gallon and different. So these are the terminologies that they use. But critically, asara l'chametz, asara l'matzah. Even though 30 loaves were matzah and only 10 loaves were chametz, half the flour went to the matzah and half the flour went to the chametz. So you would have thought, not that way, you would have thought three quarters of the flour would go to the matzah because three quarters of the loaves are matzah. Not so. Half the flour went to the three quarters of the loaves and half the flour went to the one quarter of the loaves that were chametz. So the Mishnah explains, asara l'chametz, isaron l'chala. Since you have 10 esronim of flour for the 10 chametz loaves, it means you have 1 isaron of flour for each chala of chametz. Va'asara l'matzah, and you have 10 isaron of flour for all 30 matzah loaves. U'b'matzah shlosh minin, and there are 3 types of matzah loaves. There are chalos and rakikin and revucha. So since the 3 minim all together had 10 isronos, Nimtzu shlosha esronim u'shlish l'kol min u'min, that each type of matzah, each 10 loaves of matzah, had 3 1/3 esronim. V'shalosh chalos li'isaron, and from the 3 esronim and the shlish, they made 10 chalos of each min. So each chala had one third of an isaron. So once we explain the shear of the Lach Metoda based on the midbaris measures, the Mishnah explains how what the shear was in terms of the Yerushalmus measures. Ubimid Yerushalmus, and the but using the Yerushalmus measures, where which is 1/6 larger than the Midbaros measures, so they only needed 5 si'im for the Lachme Todah, meaning same amount of flour, just different way of saying it. Instead of calling it 6 si'in, you would call it 5 si'in, because the Yerushalmi si'in were larger si'in. So Yishloshim Kav, so they measured it by Kav as opposed to Yisarons. In those 5 si'in, there are 30 Kav. Chamisha Asol Chametz, 15 of those Kav go to the 10 Chametz loaves, V'chamisha Asol Matzah, and 15 of those Kav go to the 30 Matzah loaves. Chamisha Asol Chametz, Kav Mechzal Chalas. So if you have 15 Kav for the 10 Chametz loaves, and you do the math, that means you have 1.5 Kav, you move the decimal one spot, you have 1.5 Kav for each chametz loaf. Chamisha asa lematzah, and 15 kav for the 30 matzah loaves. Ubematzah shlosha minim, and there are 3 minim of matzah. Chalos rukik and ravucha nimtzu chameshes kabin lekol min umin. So it's 5 kav for each of the 3 minim. Ushtei chalos lekav, and it means that you had a half a kav for each chalos. So 2 chalos make up 1 kav. 2 loaves make up 1 kav. So it's just different ways of saying the same thing. We just track it based on the way they would measure things in the Midbar, and we track it based on the way they would measure things in Yerushalmios. So I told us about Chamish Si'in Yerushalmios. We said that it was 5 Yerushalmi Si'in, Minan Emili. How do I know that that's true, that an Eifa is 3 Si'in? So it says Mar Amrav Chista, Amar Krav, because the Pasuk says in Sefer Yecheskel, Ha'Eifa V'Habas, Bas is a liquid measure, and an eifa is a dry measure. But the eifa and the bas equal one another. Ma bas shalosh se'in, just like the bas, which is a liquid measure, measures 3 se'in. Af eifa shalosh se'in. So to the eifa, which is a dry measure, is 3 se'in. So again, the question is, how do I know that an eifa is 3 se'in? Because a bas is 3 se'in, and we know that an eifa and a bas line up with one another. Okay, bas kufa minalan. Who told you that a bas is 3 se'in, that this liquid measure called the bas is 3 se'in? So ilema midichsiv laseis ma'aser achomer abas, if it's from the fact that it says that you take a bas of a meiser from that which is called a chomer, and a chomer we know is 30 se'in, so if a meiser of a 30 sa'a measure is a bas, then a bas must be 3 se'in. Well, if anami, by that token you can learn directly from eifa, because eifa haksiv, it says in the same pasuk, va'asiris hachomer Ha'efa, that you take 1/10 of a chomer, and you will get an efa. So an efa is 1/10 of a chomer. So why do you need to learn from bas? Learn it directly from efa. So it must be, says Gemara Ella, it must be that that which we don't learn from the pasuk of asiris ha'chomer efa is because chomer lo yadana kama. It must be we don't know what a chomer is. That I know that an efa is 1/10 of a chomer, but I have no idea what a chomer is. So it has to be that we don't know what the starting point is. So chanami lo yadana kama. So when you say that a bas is 1/10 of a chomer, we vaiter don't know what it is, because I don't know what a chomer is. So that can't be the source that an eifa is 3 se'in. So what is the source? Ela mehacha. Must be from the following pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. V'chok hashemen habas, hashemen maiser habas min akor, aseres habatim chomer, ki aseres habatim chomer. That the din of maiser b'shemen is that the bas, which is a liquid measure, is used to take maiser from a kor, and since we know that a kor is 30 sa'a, so we know that a bas is 3 si'in. And the pasuk says, and what's this midah, that you have 10 batim to a chomer, which is the shear of a kor. So then you could take a bas as meiser from that, because a chomer is 10 batim. A chomer is 10 bases. So so you see that a bas and an eifa must have the same shear. So both of them are exactly 3 sa'a. So the bas is used just for liquid measures, and the eifa for dry measures, but a bas and an eifa are one and the same. So bottom line is, an eifa is 3 se'in, a bas is 3 se'in, a chomer is 10 times that amount. Wonderful. So now we had said that the Yerushalayim measures were 1/6 larger than the Midbarios measures. Amar Shmuel, ein mosif alamidos yoser mishlos. In general, whenever you want to change the system by which we measure things, we should never add more than 1/6 to the size at one time. When you want to change the value of a coin, you don't add to the value of the coin more than by 1/6. When they switch whatever the system of shekels from the old shekels and the whenever you switch a currency, whenever you're doing a major change like that, you never change it by more than 1/6. And when you're trying to run a business and you're selling things, lo yistaker yosem ishtus. You should not mark things up by more than 1/6. So the Gemara assumes that Shmuel is saying these dinim misvara. So the Gemara tries to figure out, okay, these are all a svara that you're not allowed to adjust things by more than 1/6. What's the svara? My taima. Why is it that you're not allowed to add more than 1/6? Ile mishum afkwe tara. If you can say it's because it's going to mess up all the pricing, because if you when you make the larger measures, you raise the prices, and with choshesh that you're going to raise the price more than the more than the adjustment in the measures, because there people aren't going to know how much they're not going to realize that you added to the measures. They're just going to assume that there's that the prices went up. So if that's the case, then you shouldn't add 1/6 either, because even when you add 1/6, we have to be choshesh that you're going to adjust the price more than the adjustment in the size. Now, the real reason that you're not allowed to add more than 1/6 is because of a na'a, that it's going to turn out that the merchant is going to sell things for less than they're actually worth, because it could be that he's not going to realize that they made larger measures, so he's going to measure out to the buyer with the larger measure using the old price system. So we don't want the guy to lose out. He's going to sell things using the old price system, and he's not going to realize he's losing a lot because he keeps on giving the larger measures of items using the old prices, and he's going to lose. Keich the lavi bitul mekach. In order that it shouldn't be bitul mekach, because the halacha is when you have a din in the din of ona'a, when something is mispriced, if it's mispriced by more than 1/6, so then the whole sale is void. The whole sale is invalidated. The mekach is going to be bitul. But within 1/6, though, that you're allowed to do, because ona'a of 1/6 from the mekach, then the mekach is going to be kayim. So says Gemara, v'ha'am ha'rava kol davar shemidav shemishkal sheminyan afil pachs. That idea of bitul mekach is only if it's more than 1/6. That's only when it's not something that's clearly measurable or countable. Something that's, you could have a bitul mekach if you buy a dozen eggs and you open the box and they're only 11 because you bought by number that they're supposed to be 12 and they're only 11. Even though obviously that's less than 1/6, even though it's obviously just 1/12. So if the na'a was in the mekach in terms of its measure, its number, its weight, where something that's so clearly measurable and it's not based on the quality of the item or the pricing in general of the item, so the mekach is going to be batel even if it's less than 1/6, because the person is makbid on the na'a of a midah, of a minyan, of a mishkal, even if it's less than 1/6. So if the mocher doesn't know that the midos have been enlarged, it will turn out that he made a mistake in the midah, he made a mistake in the measurement, and the mekach is going to be batel even if it's less than 1/6. So that can't be the reason for Shmuel not to adjust the measures by more than 1/6. Ela mishum tagra. It must be this takana was for the merchant who buys grain from a balabayis, and then he brings it to the shuk to sell it. Ki echad l'limtia diana. In order that it doesn't lead him to hefsid, that he's going to buy from the balabayis for 5 slaim, and he's going to sell it in the shuk for 6 slaim, so that he can make a little money. Right, a merchant always buys for a wholesale price, sells for a retail price, so that's how he makes his money. He makes his money on the margin, on the difference between the wholesale price and the retail price. So he's going to buy things for 5 slaim. He's going to go to the market. He's going to sell it for 6 slaim. And when you raise when you enlarge the measurements, it could be that he's going to buy from the balabayas using the old measurements, and he's not going to know that they changed the measurements. So the lokeach when he buys is going to put the new measurement in front of him, meaning it used to, now we have packaging. They used to not have packaging. It was like, in the shuk, like where everything is just out in these big bins, and people would come, in the shuk now they put it in a package, but people would come with their own kalim. They would come from their home with their own kalim, and they would just fill up your kli. But you had kalim that measured a certain amount. You had a sa'a kli and and a hin and an eifa, whatever, I don't know, whatever the different, an isaron, whatever the different size kalim you had. So you're going to go and you're going to buy from your wholesaler, you're going to buy from the farmer, from the grower, or whoever, at a wholesale price using the old measurement. Then when you go and you sell it, you're not going to realize the buyer is using the new measurement, which is a larger measurement. So you say, oh, I'm selling you a sa'a, but his sa'a is much bigger, so you have to fill it with much more stuff. So you're going to sell it for six, which is based on the old measurement, and therefore you're going to lose out to all your profits. You're not going to make anything if that happens. So says Gemara, Tiyanu hu de lo limtia, we have to be choshesh only that he shouldn't lose, and that's why we raise it only by 1/6, and that way at least he'll break even. Rav chalobai, what do you mean? A merchant can't just not lose. He has to make money also, meaning he's going to spend this whole day spinning his wheels. He's on a hamster wheel all day. He just keeps moving things from here to there, from there to there, and he's not making anything. Someone who buys something and sells something for the same price, you call that a businessman? He's not doing anything. How could you possibly do any? So we shouldn't be allowed to change anything at all. So that can't be the reason that you're not allowed to change the measures by more than 1/6. Ella Amar Rav Chisda Shmuel Kra Ashkach V'Darish. It's not a svara. Shmuel had a pasuk and he darshened the pasuk that you're not allowed to change the midos by more than 1/6, because the pasuk says when it talks about the shear of a mana in Sefer Yecheskel, Vashekel Esrim Geira Esrim Shkalim Chamisha V'Esrim Shkalim Asara V'Chamisha Shekel Hamana Yielachem, that the it goes through different numbers of shkalim in the pasuk, 20 and then another 25 and then another 15, that all together 20 plus 25 plus 15 is 60, and that's the amount of a mana that you're going to have. So mana is 60 shkalim. Now that's a little bit difficult to Shmuel, because each shekel is 4 zuz. So it turns out mana is ma'asun va'arba'in havu. It is 240 zuz. So how can you say that a mana is 60 shkalim, which is 240 zuz? We know that a mana is 25 shkalim, which is 100 zuz. So that's way off. So the Gemara says, no, there's a way to be miyashev, how it comes out that according to the pasuk in Yecheskel, a mana is 240 zuz, when we know that a mana is 25 shekel, which is only 100 zuz. Elish mamina tlas. And once we reconcile that, now we'll understand what Shmuel is based on. Shmamina tlas. We see three things that emerge from here. Shmamina mana shel kodesh kafel haya. We see that a mana shel kodesh, while a mana shel chulin is only 100 zuz, a mana shel kodesh is 200 zuz. It's twice as much as a mana shel chulin, because we're talking kodesh here. This is in Sefer Yecheskel. Ushmamina mosifin al amidos vein mosifin yosem ishtos. And you also see that a mana shel kodesh was 240 zuz in the pasuk, so they were mosif on the mana shel kodesh by 40 zuz. It started as 200 and now it became 240. So how much is the difference? 40 out of 240 is 1/6. So shmamina, so you see shtusa milavar. And you also see that the way we measure 1/6 is 1/6 milavar, 1/6 of the total. That once you're mitzarif, the tosefes, with the original amount, so it turns out the tosefes is 1/6 of the new total, meaning 40 is not 1/6 of 200, it's 1/5 of 200. But now that you add the 40 to the 200, you have 240, so the 40 that you added is 1/6 of the new total. That's called a shishis milavar. That's called measuring milavar and not milagav. So the 40 zuz that you added is 1/6 of the brand new total of 240 and 1/5 of the original total of 200. If the hosafa was milagav, it was measured based on the original total, we would have cheshbined 1/6 of 200, which would have been 33 and a third, and that's what we would have added to the 200. From the fact that Sefer Yecheskel says that it's 240, we see that the way you're supposed to measure things is milavar and not milagav. So Ravina Masnisa Namidaika, in the Mishnah it's meduyik this way as well, that the sixth is milavar and not milagav, dekatani, because it said in the Mishnah, how did we get into all of this? We started by discussing the Karban Toda and how much flour they had in the Karban Toda. So we said the Toda had Haisaba'a Chamesh in Yerushalmios Shein Sheish Midbarios, that it was five Yerushalmisin, which is six Midbariosin. So Shema Minah, you see that the addition of Yerushalmisin was 1/6 milavar, because the sa'a midbarius, which was the tosefes that they added to the chamisha midbar, the chamisha midbarius, and they made a chamisha yerushalmios, is 1/5 of the total before the hosafa, and therefore 1/6 of the total after the hosafa. Meaning we see it from the relationship between the midbarios and yerushalmios by calling that 1/6 when it's really a 20% increase. In English, we'd call that a 20% increase. That it's 1.2 midbarios fit 1.2 se'in midbarios fit into one sa'a yerushalmios. So what is the difference? The difference is that 0.2. 0.2 is 1/5. Based on the way we normally talk about fractions, based on the way we normally talk about measurements, elamai, we must be talking milavar when we call it 1/6. That it's that 0.2 is 1/6 of the 1.2 that is the new measurement. So that's what we see, that it's all milavar. It's not milagav. Okay. So says the Mishnah now, new Mishnah. Now we're going to talk about the truma that's given to the kohen from the lachmei toda. So mikulam, from all of the four different types of loaves, hayinotel echad me'asara truma. You take 1/10 and you would give it as truma. Shenamar, because the pasuk says in yesterday's parsha, v'hikri menu echad mikol karban truma l'Hashem. So echad shelo yitol parus mikol karban. Echad tells me that you shouldn't take a broken piece from each karban. It's supposed to be one full loaf, as we discussed yesterday. Shu kol karban shavos, and all the different minim are equal in the number of chalos that they have. That each of the four minim have 10 chalos, shelo yitol mikarbon al chaveiro. So you don't take from one carbon on the other, from one min on the other. Meaning if they weren't equal, you would bring, let's say, 5 loaves of one min and 15 of the other min, so then it would turn out that what you're taking from one min, the loaf you're taking from one min, is helping to cover the truma from the other min. But it's not like that. It has to be even. It has to be that there are 10 loaves of each min. So the truma that you give to the kohen should be to the guy who's bringing the zevach, who's bringing the karban toda that goes along with these lachmei toda. And then the other 90% goes to the bailim, goes to the guy who has what to be grateful for and is therefore bringing this karban toda. So 10% goes to the kohen who's busy with the zevach, who's busy doing the avoda with this karban, and 90% the bailim gets to eat. Not just gets to eat, he's got to eat, and he has to eat it. He has a very short amount of time. He has a very short window within which he must eat his 36 loaves of bread. He's got to eat it that day and that night, but he's allowed to share it with friends. He's allowed to share it with as many people as he would like. It would be an impossibility for a human being to eat that amount of bread in that amount of time. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a brisa that darshins the pasuk that we mentioned in the Mishnah, and it's going to discuss the shear of the truma of the lachmei toda and of the lachmei toda themselves. So Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa, which is a medrash in yesterday's parsha, that the pasuk says v'hikriv mimenu, that mimenu sounds like from the lachmei toda, so mina mechubar. So it sounds like that all of the chalos should be in one kli at the time that you take the truma. So echad shelo yitol parus. Then it says echad, which means that the loaf that you're going to give to the kohen needs to be a full loaf. You shouldn't take a broken piece. Mikol karban. It says mikol karban shu kol karban shavos. That all the four types of loaves should have exactly 10 of each min. So that you're not taking truma from one to cover some of the other, right? You shouldn't have 15 loaves of one and 5 of the other, and therefore when you take one loaf from one type, it's helping to cover that which is missing from the other. So then the Brisa suggestions, truma l'Hashem, ein yodea mikamahi, I don't know how many chalos you have to, from what the starting point is, what number of chalos you have to take truma from. So already done, we make a binyanav, ne'amar kan, it says, by the lachmei toda truma, v'nemer b'trumas meiser, and we know by trumas meiser it also says truma. So mala alon, just like by trumas meiser, it's echad me'asara. The amount that you give is 1/10. Meaning when a person has produce, so you give you have to give truma gedola, and then you have to give meiser rishon. You have to either meiser sheni or meiser ani, depending on the year. Truma gedola has no shear. Truma gedola chita achas poteres is kalakri. You can give a lot, you give a little. Midabedin is. You give give about 2% for Truma Gedolah, and that's what goes to the Kohen. Maaser Rishon is 10% of what's remaining. So if you had 100 units, he gave 2 units to the Kohen on average, so you had 98 units remaining, 9.8 go to the Levi. So now the Levi doesn't keep all 9.8. He gives 10% of what he got, and he gives that to the Kohen, and that's Trumas Maaser. So the Truma Gedolah that the Kohen gets directly from the farmer is only 2% on average. It could be even less, but it's only 2% on average. But the Truma that the Kohen gets from the Levi is 10% of what the Levi himself had received, which is just less than 1% of the original crop, right? Because the Levi himself only got 10%. But the fact that the Levi gives 10% to the Kohen is mefurish in the Torah. So mala lanechad me'asara, just like Trumas Maaser, we know is 10%. Avkan echad me'asara. So too by the lach metoda, you're giving 10% of the lach metoda to the Kohen. So it says, well, how do I know truma should be derived from Trumas Maaser and should tell me 10%? Okalech l'darzo. Maybe I could go in a different direction. Nemar kan truma. It says by lach metoda. It says the word truma. V'nemar b'bikurim truma. But it also uses the word truma and bikurim. Malalon in lashir. The halacha is bikurim. You know, it's part of that first Mishnah Maseches Peah we say every day. El dvarim sheinam shir. Hapeya. Bikurim, right? Bikurim is the second item on the list. So just like Bikurim doesn't have a shear, you can give however much you want for Bikurim, Safkana in Lashir. So maybe the amount that you give to the Kohen from your Lach Metoda is also in Lashir. It also doesn't have an amount that you give. The Ola Shloma raises the question that in Tosas Mesech Ziyuma, he says you can't learn Truma Sedeshan from Truma Gedola and Chala because they don't have a shear. So since they don't have a shear, you have to learn Sasum in Amafurish, not Sasum in Asasum, meaning that itself should indicate not to learn from Bikurim. The fact that it doesn't have a shear should tell you that it therefore can't teach you anything, because you're supposed to learn from that which is more clear, that which you're able to learn from. Okay, but the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara gives a different reason. So the Gemara answers, why is it that I don't learn from Bikurim and I learn from Trumas Maaser? Because Nira L'midoma. Let's see what is more similar to Lach Metoda. Are Lach Metoda more similar to Trumas Maaser, or are they more similar to Bikurim? Well, done in Truma, She'ein Achareha Truma, we're going to learn a Truma that is the final Truma, where it doesn't need anything else done with it, Mitruma She'ein Achareha Truma, from another Truma that also is the final step. And therefore, the Lach Metoda, when you give that loaf to the Kohen, that's it. You're done. You've given what you need to give. So too, when it comes to Trumas Maaser, when the Levi gives that Trumas Maaser to the Kohen, that's it. It's done. That's the end of the line. The Kohen then eats it. He doesn't have to do anything else with it. But the Bikurim still has Truma that has to follow it, because the grain that you brought the Bikurim from is still going to need its own afrashas Truma Samaisros. So it's not the final step, and therefore that's why I don't learn from Bikurim. Says Gemara, Okalech L'Darzu, but maybe you could still go in a different direction, that maybe the Toda is more similar to Bikurim, because Dan in Truma de Ne'echelis Makom Kadosh, Mi Truma Ha'Ne'echelis Makom Kadosh, Val Tochiach Trumas Maaser She'Ne'echelis B'Chal Makom. Maybe I should derive Trumas Lach Metoda, which is eaten only in a Makom Kadosh, it's eaten in Yerushalayim, from Bikurim, which is also only eaten in Yerushalayim. And I should not learn from Trumas Maaser, where you're not limited to Yerushalayim. The Kohen who receives the Trumas Maaser from the Levi could eat it wherever he wants. He's not limited to Yerushalayim. So since the Binyan Av from Trumas Maaser doesn't seem to work, so we're back to our original question. How do I know that you give 10% of the loaves of Lach Metoda to a Kohen? So the Gemara says, you're right, it's not a Binyan Av, but Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says by Lach Metoda, mi menu. It says, vehikri menu. Truma la Hashem. So Ksiv b'Trumas Maaser, b'Trumas Maaser, it also says Mimenu Truma. So since it says Mimenu Truma Hashem in both places, the Gezeirah Shava. So it's not a Binyanav, it's an actual Gezeirah Shava, that the same words are used in both contexts, and therefore I see that just like Trumas Maaser is 10%, so too of the Lach Metoda you're supposed to give 10%. So the Manu, the Truma Shiach and Me'asara. So now I know that the truma is 1/10. But I don't know how much flour there is in the challah of chametz. Meaning, so we've solved one issue that our Mishnah had said, that you give 10% of your loaves of bread for your lachmei todah to a kohen. How large are these loaves? How much flour is in these loaves? It doesn't say exactly how much goes to the chametz loaves, how much goes to the matzah loaves. So already done. We have to learn that from a binyanav as well. Nemar kan lechem, by the lachmei todah uses the term lechem, v'nemar lalan b'shtei alechem, lechem. And by the shtei alechem that they bring on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, it also uses the term lechem. So ma lalan isarun lechala, just like the lechem that we have in the shtei alechem is one isarun of flour for each loaf, because it's shtayim shnei esronim, two loaves of the shtei alechem are shnei esronim, one isarun for each. So afkan, so to the lachmei todah are isarun lechala. It's one isarun of flour for each loaf by the lachmei todah. Okalech l'darach zo, or maybe though I should learn not from the shtei alechem, maybe I should learn from the lechem apanim. Nemar kan, it says by the lachmei todah lechem, v'nemar b'lechem apanim lechem. The lechem apanim are called lechem. So malalon, just like by the lechem apanim, shnei esronim. It's shnei esronim for each challah. So afkan shnei esronos. Maybe the lachmei todah are also supposed to be shnei esronim for each challah and not one. So how do I know whether I'm supposed to derive the amount of flour in each of the lachmei todah from, whether I should derive it from the shtei alechem or whether I should derive it from the lechem apanim? So near the midoma, we have to see what are lachmei todah more similar to. So dan in mincha ba'a chametz imazevach mimin. Maybe I should learn the amount of flour in the 10 chametz loaves of the lachmei todah, because it's unique in that it is a chametz korban mincha that's brought together with a zevach. Where else do I have a chametz korban mincha brought together with the zevach? Only one other place, and that's shtei alechem of Shavuos, that the mincha is chametz and it's brought together with a zevach. V'al yochiach lechem apanim sheinu b'chametz im hazevach, as opposed to lechem apanim, that it has neither of those characteristics. First of all, it's not chametz, and second of all, it's not im hazevach. There is no zevach that goes with the lechem apanim. There's no animal. There's no nothing to shecht, and there's no chametz. The lechem apanim is all matzah. So the Gemara says, well, what's the hechrich to compare lachmei todah to shtei alechem? Because okalech l'derech zo. Maybe I could tell you that in a certain sense, lachmei todah are more similar to the lechem apanim, because dan mincha ba me aretz v'chutz la'aretz min hachadosh u'min hayam. That maybe we should say that the lachmei todah, they could come from grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael or grain that grew in Chutz La'aretz. It can come from the new grain, it can come from the old grain. So therefore, the lechem apanim has those same things in common. It can come from Eretz Yisrael, the grain, or Chutz La'aretz grain. It can come from chadash, it can come from yashan. Val yochichu shtei alechem, shein balsal min chadash min ha'aretz. Shtei alechem is much more limited. It can only come from chadash, and can only come from Eretz Yisrael, the grain. So since we cannot derive from a binyanav, so the Brisa says there must be some other limud of how I know how much flour goes into each of the loaves of chametz in the lachmei todah. So we don't learn it from binyanav, but rather tamalomar, the pasuk says mimosh vosechem taviu lechem tenufa shtayim shein tamalomar taviu. It's an extra word to say taviu. It could have just said v'kraft mincha chadash l'Hashem mimosh vosechem lechem tenufa. Why is it taviu? Ma tamalomar taviu? What are we adding with the word taviu? Shekol masha atamevi mimakom acher, anything that you bring from somewhere else that's similar to the shtei alechem, which is brought as chametz and with the zevach, like the lachmei todah, hareyu kaze, should be just like this. Mala lon, just like the shtei alechem is isarun lechala, afkan isarun lechala, so too the lachmei chametz of the lachmei todah, the chametz loaves of the lachmei todah, should also be one isarun of flour for chala. Meaning this is what we call a hekish, that the Torah, by using the word taviu, is telling me that we are comparing the shtei alechem to the lachmei todah. Legabe what alecha? Legabe how much flour you're going to put into them. So the chametz loaves of lachmei todah are one isarun of flour. Well, imalalan shnei esronos, afkan shnei esronos. Well, wait a second. I might have compared the amount of flour, but not based on per loaf. Maybe we should compare the amount of flour based on total, that the shtei alechem has a total of two isaruns of flour. So maybe all 10 chametz loaves should have a total of two isarons of flour. So tamalomar tihiyana. That's why the pasuk says tihiyana. And that there's one of those yuds in the word tihiyana is extra to tell me that that the word taviu that we learned from the lach metoda from teaches me that you're supposed to bring the lach metoda with ten esronim. That extra, it's a gematria, this drasha. The tihiyana, that since tihiyana is with an extra yud, we take that yud and we view it as the number 10, as a gematria of 10. So it must be that there are 10 isarons in the chametz of the lachme toda. Sometimes the gematria is one of the midos shatar and dreshes, Ben. We're just not allowed to use it indiscriminately. It's a very limited type. It must be one of those that you have to have a mesora for. Otherwise, you could make anything a gematria. So it's probably similar to gzeirah shava that they have to have a mesora for it, right? That's how we know. Stam nezirus shloshim yom is the most famous gematria that teaches. Because the pasuk says Yehiya, and the gematria of Yehiya is 30, and somehow that's a midrash Torah adjustment teaches us a din d'oraisa. Now that's as far as the chametz in the ten chametz loaves of the lachmei toda. So the manu asar lechametz. Now I know that there are 10 esronim of flour in the 10 chametz loaves of the lachmei toda. Asar lematzah minayin. How do I know that there are 10 esronim of flour for the 30 loaves of matzah in the lachmei toda? Tam lomer, because the pasuk says after it goes through the types of matzah that you're supposed to bring, it says al chalos lechem chametz. So neged chametz havei matzah. That corresponding to the amount of flour that you used in making the 10 chametz loaves, that's how much flour you should use in making the 30 matzah loaves. Nimtzu esrim esronos lachmei toda asar lechametz asar lematzah. So it turns out there are 20 esronos in total, 10 of which go for the chametz loaves, 10 of which go for the matzah loaves. So yachal asar shem matzah lo yuhu kulan elamim in echad. I might think that the 10 esronim of flour that go into the matzah loaves, it should be all one type of matzah loaf. You should make the same type of matzah should all be whatever, strites or keristir or whatever. It should all look exactly the same. That all the matzah should be exactly the same. So Tamalomar, im al toda yakrivenu vihikriv al zevach hatoda, chalos matzos bulus b'shemen, urikike matzos meshuchim b'shemen, solas murubeches, chalos bulus b'shemen, the pasuk says. So the pasuk identifies three types of matzah. It says chalos, it says rikikim, and it says revucha. So I see that there are three types of matzah. So three types of matzah have 10 isar of flour in total. So if I have three types of matzah that I have to split 10 isarin of flour, it means each type of matzah is made of 3 1/3 of 3 1/3 isarin of flour. And since there are 10 chalos, it turns out that there are 3 chalos for each isarin for each isarin of flour. And therefore the 40 lachmei toda, notel mehen arba v'nosin the kohen. You take 4 of them and you give them to the kohen. V'ashar nechalim lebailim, and the rest of it gets eaten by the bailim. So now, Amar Mar, we had said in the brisa v'hikru mimenu min amechubar that the chalos should be all together at the time that you mafresh the truma from the chalos to give to the kohen. Elameata, if the word mimenu means that it has to be mechubar, how you can explain dechsiv? The pasuk says ve'is kol chelbo yorim mimenu. When it talks about the emurim of a korban, the Gemara assumes that the taking of the emurim of the carbon is after the carbon is already cut up into pieces. It's already dissected into different pieces. They chop it up into different pieces. It's already butchered. So hasamay mechubarika. So where's the mechubar over there? Meaning, if every time you have the word mimenu, it means that you're taking from that which is still connected to each other. How do you explain the mimenu that you have by the emurim? It's not still connected. It's nitach v'nesachav. It's already butchered. So kidrav chistam ravimi. We assume like that you're not supposed to butcher up the basar until you take the emurin. So you take it from the guf of the korban that it's attached to. So Amar Mar, we had said also previously in the Braisa, Nemar Kan Truma, Nemar Truma's Meister Truma, that it says the word Truma by Lach Metoda, and it says the word Truma by Truma's Meister, V'nelef mi Truma's Midyan, and therefore we derive Ben Yanav, that it's just like it's 1/10 by Truma's Meister, so it's 1/10 by the Lach Metoda. But maybe we should learn from Trumas Midyan that even it says Truma over there also, and they took Biza from Midyan, and they took and they gave 1/500th to the Kohanim. So maybe the lach mitodu should also be only 1/500 and not 1/10. So done in truma noages ledoros mitruma noages ledoros val tochich trumas midyan shein noages ledoros. No, we're trying to compare dinim that are dinim for all time to one another. So the din of lach mitodu is forever. Whenever we're going to bring carbon todu in the base of Mikdash, in whatever generation, and the din of trumas meiser is forever. But the din of what we took in the war with Midian from the spoils, that was a one-time event. So we're not going to learn from that which is only l'sha'a and was not l'doros. So it says, well, okay, but v'nelef mitruma schala, maybe I should learn that the amount of truma you give from the lach metoda should match the amount of truma that you give from chala. How much chala do you give to a kohen? That's a din l'doros, that you give 1/24 of your dough to a kohen. So maybe the truma of the lach metoda should not be 1/10 like trumas meiser, not 1/500 like trumas midyan either, but 1/24 like trumas chala. So tal de Rabbi Shmuel, they learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, done in davar shenemar bo, shenemar bo is a gears of here, mimenu truma la Hashem, mi davar shenemar bo, mimenu trumas Hashem, la afuke trumas chala, de lo nemar bo mimenu truma la Hashem. It only says truma la Hashem. It doesn't say the word mimenu in that context. And without the word mimenu, then we're not going to darshan the same. Boy Rava, trumas lach metoda chayavin alein misa v'chomesh o ein chayavin alein misa v'chomesh. This trumas lach metoda that's supposed to go to the kohen. How much do we consider this real truma? If a zar eats truma, he's chayav misa b'dei shemayim and he has to pay back plus a chomesh on top of it. When you eat the trumas lach metoda, do you have the same dinim? So kivin diskus trumas meiser, trumas meiser dami. Do we say it's completely like trumas meiser? O dilma, or maybe not. Maybe since when you eat truma b'meiser, the pasuk says umesu bo, so it sounds you die from eating it, this, and only this, only real trumas meiser. When it says about paying back for eating a b'shogeg, v'chamishi so, Yosef Alav, it says, so it sounds like you only have to add a chamishis to this, but not for something else. So mi'et rachmana, so maybe the Torah is telling me that these dinim only apply by the trumas meiser, by real truma, and not by trumas lach metoda. And Rava also wasn't sure the trumas lach metoda, midama'as o ena midama'as. When it gets mixed in with other things. Will it create an iser when it falls into chulin, and you're going to need a 100-to-1 ratio to be mevatalit like you would regular truma, or not? So teku, both of those things are left unresolved, and the Gemara doesn't have an answer. But from tomorrow, we'll pick up with Amar Mar at the bottom of the page. And have a great time.